Bibles tonight to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to start tonight teaching through the book, verse by verse and chapter by chapter. Of course, it's only three chapters. It shouldn't take a real long time for us to get through it. But the book of 2 Thessalonians is a very deep book in some spots of it. I think I'm going to put you on alert in chapter 2. Once we get there, I think it when we get there, you'll see that one of the signs that the Lord's getting ready to come, before the Lord can come, there has to be a falling away first. And that is a falling away from the truth, an apostasy. And then number two, the man of sin be revealed. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I think the Antichrist is already here. And I think 2 Thessalonians 2 plainly teaches that in order for Jesus to come, the Antichrist first has to be revealed. And that's going to be 2 Thessalonians 2. We're not going to deal with that now. I'm just giving you a little bit of what we're going to be covering. It's in chapter 2, verses 1. Really, verses 1 down through 12. I think it's talking about him. And I can't wait to get there, but just a little something we'll be looking at later. Okay. Now tonight I'm going to introduce you to the book, and we're going to be looking just at verses 1 through 4. If I get done in 10 minutes, I'm going to quit. Does that sound good? Hey, I could do 10 minutes on just saying Paul, I think, in verse 1. But let's go ahead and read our text for this evening. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. In God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is met or fit, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of each one of you all towards each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations. Let us pray. Father God, we're thankful for all the blessings you've given us. And Father, we pray that you'd help us now as we begin to go through this grand book of 2 Thessalonians, that you'd help us and grant us an understanding spirit. May we grow in number every week as people come to hear it. And may we be made to grow stronger as a result of studying your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's good to, at times, pick a book of the Bible and just go through it verse by verse. Does anybody know why? It forces you to look at things. I mean, you can pick and choose out of the Bible what you want to teach on, especially if it's something you already know. But when you teach through a book, trust me, you're going to come across text and you're going, I don't have any idea what that means. And it makes you grow. It really does. That's why we do it that way. It makes you grow as a Christian. So that times when you're going through it, there'll be times I'll look at a text and I'll think, boy, oh boy, I hope I know what this means by next week because I got to teach on it. So as I learn, so will you learn. So going through, I usually have one, if I haven't done it in a good bit, just maybe a year or two, but I usually always have a book of the Bible that I'm teaching through verse by verse. Almost always, in the 34 years that I've been here, I almost always have a book that I'm working through. And that helps us all grow together. So, let's go ahead and look at verse 1. Verses 1 and 2 is the salutation. You know what a salutation is? It's just simply telling you who wrote the letter. Remember, this book is an epistle. What's an epistle? It's a letter. It's a letter, and he shows you who wrote it in verse 1. Actually, Paul wrote it. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus. Silvanus is Silas. Remember, Paul and Silas. His name was also Silvanus and Timotheus. He was a young preacher. Paul wrote out of 27 books of the New Testament. I think he also wrote Hebrews. He wrote 14 books. And these epistles of the Apostle Paul, we have here in our New Testament. And you talk about deep studies. They are indeed deep studies. So that's what we're going to be looking at here for the next couple weeks. So verse 1 just shows you who wrote it. And you'll notice Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. What were they? They were a church. So this was a local church. And the Thessalonian church, along with the Philippi, and along with Berea, you have Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. All three of those was churches of Macedonia. Now, Paul was searching for where to go to. And what happened in the book of Acts, chapter 16, the Lord sent him a vision, and in the vision he seen a man of Macedonia saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." Y'all remember hearing that? We call that the Macedonian call. And of course, when he went there, he went to Philippi, and he went to Thessalonica, and he went to Berea. Now, have y'all heard of Berea? You heard of the Berean Bible students. In the book of Acts 17, it says they were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they received the word with all readiness of mind and they searched the scriptures daily to see whether it was so. So you know what I want out of our church? I want everybody in this church to be a Berean, to receive the word with readiness of mind. That means open-mindedness. To receive the word with readiness of mind. And then what do? You search the scriptures yourself to see whether it's so. I don't want you to believe something just because I tell it. I want you to believe it because you see it. And when you see it, you know what it gives you? It gives you convictions. You can't move somebody when they see it for themselves and they have convictions. I don't like, "Well, let's go get Jeff and he'll tell you what I believe." No, it don't work that way. You need to know what you believe. You need to know why you believe it. And you need to know where it's at in the Bible for proof for it. And you need to know how to defend it. So that's why we go, of course, through verse by verse. Okay? So, Thessalonians was a church that was in Macedonia. And it wasn't quite like the church of the other churches of Macedonia, but this was still yet a very model church. In Acts chapter 17, Paul was there for 3 weeks at Thessalonica. 3 weeks. And because of persecution, he had to leave. He couldn't stick around. Can you imagine starting a church, Larry, being a missionary and starting a church, and then you have to leave in 3 weeks? You wouldn't want that, but persecution got so bad there, he had to leave. But yet this church got started, and this church prospered, and this church was a model church. It indeed was. God blessed it. God kept it. God taught it. And it was amazing to do so. So that's who he's writing to. This was a church he only had been that 3 weeks. You can read that in Acts chapter 17. But yet they are indeed a model church. Was it a local church? Absolutely. That's what a church is. The church of Thessalonica. That's where it was located. It had a pastor or pastors, deacons. And what's the church do? What's the church for? Carries the commission. Make disciples. After disciples made, you baptize them. We did that today, didn't we? Those disciples, they were already disciples. Then you baptize them. Then they were added. Then what do you? You teach them. You teach them God's Word. And you want the whole church? You want your whole church to know God's Word. You want everybody in the church, every church member, you want everybody to know what God's Word says, so that they can stand, so that you can stand for it, but so you can teach others. You know who the main teacher of your children is? It's the parents. And the most important thing you can teach their children is you need to be able to teach them about spiritual things. You need to be able to open your Bible up and explain what the Bible says about certain things. You need to use the Bible in raising your children. You need to teach them what is right and what is wrong from what? From the Scriptures. The Scriptures is the standard by which we live our lives by. So we come to church to learn them. Because the church is a pillar in the ground of the truth so that you can teach them to your membership so that they can in turn do what? teach them to their children, and teach them to those whom they come into contact with. That's how this thing gets spread around. I'm going to say it one more time. That's how this thing gets spread around. So it's very important that churches teach and the membership learns what it believes and where it's at and be able to stand for it. You know, how can I say? It's easy to deceive folks that don't know anything. Can I say it one more time? It's easy to deceive folks that don't know anything. You need to know what things are. You need to check it out. Can you understand what I'm trying to say? I want you to check out what I teach you. You make sure it's so. And then when you see it, let me tell you what it'll do. When you see it, you know what it'll do for you? It'll give you convictions. You won't be wishy-washy. You'll have convictions. And you'll be able to say, listen, here in this verse is why I believe this. This verse says it too. This verse says it too. This verse says it. And that's wrong because that contradicts all four of those. You see what I mean? I want you to be a good Berean. I want you to know what you believe and why you believe it, which is another reason why we go through books. So this was a model church. Everybody got it? Model church, the Thessalonian church was. Now, he says, it says that they're in God our Father. See where it says, talking about, when you're talking about the church, you're not talking about the building. You're talking about the people. You're talking about the people. So, he's saying that they are in God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he says they are in Him. Now, that's the position of salvation. That's what it means to be saved. You know, we quote all kinds of verses that talks about us being in Christ and in the Father. Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We're viewed as being in Him. In Him. Being in Him is like being in the ark, isn't it? Back whenever the Lord destroyed the world once already, destroyed it by water, Noah was told to construct an ark. And the ark was the place of safety. And then once it was finished and God was going to bring the destruction on the earth, you know what Noah and his sons and their wives and his wife had to do? They had to get where? Had to get in. And when they got in, God shut the door and that was the place of safety. There was no condemnation to those that were in the ark. But if you was outside of the ark, you was destroyed along with everything else that was destroyed. Everybody see where I'm coming from? Well, the place of salvation today isn't an ark, but it is in the ark of the Lord Jesus. If you want to be free from condemnation, you got to be in Him. And I want to tell you something tonight. You're either in Him or you're outside of Him. There's no, I've not made a decision yet. I like when people tell me that. I've not made a decision yet. Yeah, you have. You just told me no. You either in or you out. And I want you to get in. I want you to get in. And whenever you're saved, you're in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how He views you. You're in Christ. So there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How you get in? I've mentioned this a million times. I'm going to turn you to Romans, not a million, maybe close to it. Let's go to Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. How do you get in? You get in by faith, don't you? How'd Noah get in the ark? You know, it was a week before it rained when Noah got in the ark. I don't know about you, but when God told me to get in, once the door got shut, I've been expecting something to be happening, wouldn't you? They had to wait a week. It was a week before the foundation of the waters of the deep broke up and the rain began to fall and all these different things. Rain 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine? He entered that ark by what? God said, get in. He got in. God shut the door and he entered that ark by faith. By faith. God said, get on. He got on. Now, I don't know. Could you imagine being in there for a week, oh, Brother Larry? I don't know if your son said anything or anything. He said, well, yeah. It's been a week and ain't nothing happened. Are you sure God told you right? Been a week. So see, this didn't happen right off. It took a period of time, and then God sent it. But they got on by what again? They got on by faith. And I'm going to tell you something. God's going to destroy the world again. He's done destroyed it once. He destroyed it the first time by water. But He's going to destroy it the second time by fire. And guess what? You need to get in the ark of safety while you can. And that ark of safety is the Lord Jesus Christ. And how you get in is you got to get in by faith. Notice what it says here. Verse 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith. By what? Faith is always in an object. And the object is always the one that does the work. Therefore, being justified by faith, what do we have? Peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you get peace with God? You get peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can have peace. Can you imagine walking in this world without having peace with God? Do you realize what a dangerous position that is to be in? The wrath of God, notice what it says. Let's look down in verse 9. Much more being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now notice what that says. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. If when we were... Now I want you to get this. If when we were what? Enemies. That don't even sound good, does it? Before I was reconciled, I was an enemy. That's a dangerous position to be in. You don't want to die there. And you don't want Jesus to come while you're an enemy. You need to be reconciled. That's the idea. The word reconciled means to go from being an enemy to being at peace with God. And again, that access into that peace is through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1 again, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen for the access. This is how you get in. How you get in? By whom we have access. See the access? Somebody comes and going to work on your heater in your house. You're going to want to know where the access is at. And the access is how you get in. I'm going to work on this. Where's the access at? Well, it's around back. You go under that door right there. Everybody wants to know where the access. Well, the access into peace with God is faith. You know what that means? It means you trust Jesus is really what it means. You trust that He died for you, rose again the third day. You trust that. Trust that gospel message. And that brings you into a position of peace with God. Let's go back to our text now. I got the foundation laid, so you stay with me. It's going to be a good book. I think you'll enjoy it. 2 Thessalonians, and we're looking at chapter 1. You notice again there in verse 1, again, look back at it. In God our Father and the Lord Jesus. See, in, that's the position of salvation. Now hear me one more time. You either in or you out. No middle ground. In or out. If you're saved and you trusted Jesus, you're in. If you've never trusted Jesus, you're out. And I'm telling you, you don't want to die there. And you don't want Jesus to come while you're there either. You need to get in. Get in. What is it they used to say? Get in while the getting's good. You need to get in. You need to get in. All right, let's move on to verse 2. Verse 2. Everybody got verse 1? It says, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be unto you. I'm going to show you a little something, and I've showed you this here recently, and I'm going to show you again. You see how in verse 2, it mentions the word grace in his introduction? Now, if you'll flip over to chapter 3, and look at verse 18. You see where it mentions the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all? You see it opens with grace, and what does it close with? Opens with grace, what does it close with? Closes with grace. Every one of his epistles does that. You go back tonight and look it up. You go, there's 14 of them, including, except for the exception of Hebrews. I think Paul wrote Hebrews. Some don't think he did. I think it's the 14th. Hebrews opens with it, but it doesn't close with it, but it mentions his bond sentence. I think he wrote Hebrews. But the other ones, Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians, Colossians, all of them mention grace in introduction. And guess what they close with? Close with grace. Opens with grace, closes with grace. And you talk about a grace preacher, it was the Apostle Paul. What's grace mean, brother? Unmerited favor. If you wanted to give it a definition, when it says in Ephesians 2, 4, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of? It's not of works. The word grace means not of works. You don't work for your salvation. You can't earn it. Romans 6, I'm trying to get this all in my mind. Romans 6, 23 says the wages of sin is? The gift of God is? Now, did you get what I just said? What's a wage? Somebody shout it. Something you work for. It's something you earn. That's why they call it a what? You'd get mad if your boss gave you your check and said, there's your gift. Well, I'd make me mad when they do me that way. That's yours, your gift. Because it's not a gift. Does anybody know why it's not a gift? You work for it. That's right, sister. That's exactly what I did. I worked for that thing. Yes, I did. I worked for it. So the wages of sin is I earned that. I deserved that. If I got what I deserved, the earth would open up and I'd slide right into hell. The wages of my sin is death. And that's the second death, which is hell. Physical death came into being because of sin. But the worst kind of death is the second death. So eternal life isn't called a wage. The gift of God is, finish it for me, the gift of God is eternal life. It's not a wage. That means you don't work for it. That's what it means. You don't earn eternal life. Eternal life is a gift that Jesus bought and paid for. And you know what you do to get it? You receive it. Jesus did all the work. We sing the song, Jesus paid it. Paid it all. He didn't pay it half. He paid it all. You say, well, I believe in works. Well, I do too. But I'm not working to get saved. What Jesus did by dying and rising again is what saved me. I work because I love Him. I want to please Him. There's a different reason. If you're working to get saved, you're not trusting Jesus. You're trusting your own deeds. You best get that straight, because that's a dangerous thing. Because there's going to be a great host of people that's on a broad road that are religious people. They say, Lord, we prophesied in Your name. Lord, in Your name we casted out demons. Lord, in Your name we've done many wonderful works. Doesn't that sound religious to You? And Jesus say, will profess unto them, depart from Me, ye workers of iniquity. Never knew You. Because they never trusted Jesus. So we seek to do good works, not to get saved, but because we are. We want to represent our Lord well. Matthew 5 says it best, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good and glorify your Father. That's why we want to do it. I know what, since I claim His name, that means I'm His ambassador, I represent Him. And how I act and conduct myself reflects back on my Savior. Is everybody with me? I want to represent Him well. I don't want to bring reproach to His name. I fear that. Do y'all fear that? How many fears that? Raise your right hand. I don't want to do anything that brings reproach. I want to represent Him well. I want to do good. I want to do good works. But I'm not doing what Jesus did by living, dying, rising is what saved me. And now I serve Him because I love Him. I'm not serving Him because I'm afraid He's going to throw me into hell. No condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. I just love Him and want to serve Him. Everybody with me on that one? So yeah, I believe in doing works, but it's for a total different reason. So the word grace means not of works. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. That's the object of, that's where grace and peace comes from. God bestowed upon me, Koi, His grace. He gave me His grace. Grace means you didn't earn it. But He shed His grace on me. He certainly did on you too. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, Paul makes this statement. You remember what Paul was before he was saved? He was Saul of Tarsus. He was the number one persecutor of the church. He said in the New Testament that he was the chief sinner of his day. And you know what else he said about himself? He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. All God's people said. He recognized he did. Man, he recognized if he got what he deserved, the earth would open up and he'd slide into hell. On the road to Damascus, he was going up to put Christians in chains. And Jesus struck him down and saved his soul. So he was saved. But what again? Grace. Grace and what else? Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Not only did God bestow upon me His grace, Larry, but after I trusted Jesus because of His grace, now I got peace. Can I ask you a question? You got peace? I mean the peace of knowing it's well with your soul. That if Jesus would come, you're ready to go up. That's peace. I ain't worried about that. Oh, the Lord might come today. So be it. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That'd be great, wouldn't it? You got the peace of knowing that if you die, you go to be with the Lord. So the day you're saved, the Lord give you grace. It means you didn't earn it. And He give you, along with that grace, He give you what else? Peace. Grace and peace. I got peace with God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I received that at salvation. But you know, He continues to give me grace and peace throughout my life. He continues to do it. I don't know if you're anything like me. I think tear me up sometimes. Does it you? I mean, just because we're born again doesn't mean we don't face any tribulations in this life. Matter of fact, Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world ye will have tribulations. And when tribulations come, you know what? The first thing you lose sometimes? You lose your peace. You lose your peace of what? Peace of mind. It's well with your soul. You know you're saved. But you can lose your peace of what again? You can lose your peace of mind. Well, we have recourse. Let's turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. He continues to give us grace. Grace to live. And peace. I didn't plan on giving you this one, so I might need to find another text to go along with it. That's what it says in 1 Peter chapter 5. Here's a great blessing. You're here tonight, born again, saved. Here's a blessing you have. It says, casting all your care. Now, the word care there is anxious care. Do you know what anxious care is? Anxious is where you get the term anxiety. It's facing times where you're fearful. Fearful of what might happen. Never have times where you had a fear or care that overwhelmed your mind and you was afraid that what might happen. So it says, casting all care upon Him, for He cares for you. I tell you what. The reason why it tells you to cast your cares is, you know what a care will do? It'll burden you down. It'll weight you down. Ever have it happen to you? We call them burdens. Another name for cares is burdens. And sometimes what happens is the burdens of life can weigh you down. And you get weighted down with it. And you can even sometimes look at people and you'll even maybe be able to walk up to them and say, well, Brother Larry, what in the world's wrong with you? Sometimes people, when they're carrying cares, their very countenance will show it. Sometimes I try to hide mine. Most people try to hide it, but in many cases you can still see it in folks. And sometimes, boy, you talk about somebody that'll love you. Sometimes people will love you, will come and say, "Hey, Pastor, are you all right?" Or sometimes somebody might come to you, another brother in Christ or sister, "Are you okay?" They can sense that there's something weighing you down. And they'll pray with you. These are ways that we get rid of these cares. Let's go back to our text. I'm going to go down too far with this one. I didn't want to go there. Let's go back again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. He tells them grace and peace. We receive grace and peace whenever the Lord saved our soul. And we continue. He continues to give us grace and peace throughout our life. Aren't you glad that He does that? Grace to live and peace many times. The very peace that passes oftentimes understanding. 2 Thessalonians, and let's go back to verse 2. Grace and peace unto you from, where's grace and peace come from? God, our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it comes from. He's the source. Now let's look at verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, for it is met or fit, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love of every one of you toward each other aboundeth. Now, here's an interesting thing that I want you to remember. You notice what he says to them, we are bound to thank God always for you. Now, who does that give the glory to? It gives the glory, right off the bat, that gives the glory to God. Now, when you want to give when you want to give a brother or sister a compliment, that's the way to do it. You might walk up to him and say, "You know what? I really thank God for that song you just sung." I really thank who? I really thank God for that song you just sung. I really thank God for that sermon you just preached. I really thank God for that gift that you just gave. Who does that give the glory to? Gives the glory to God. Do you notice? You'll find that in the Scriptures. I thank God for you. So what that does, that keeps people from getting prideful, doesn't it? That keeps you from blowing people up. And it gives the glory when things get done. Man, I really thank God for that gift you gave. I really thank God for that song you sung. I really thank God for that prayer you prayed. See what it does? Who's it give the glory to again? God, not men. And it keeps people from getting prideful. It's a dangerous place to be. So that's what he's doing. He's thanking God for the work that had been done there in their lives. And he mentions how that their faith grew exceedingly. Everybody see that? What he's thanking God for is that their faith was growing. They were growing in their faith. They were saved by faith, but their faith was growing in the Lord. Faith does grow. Let me say it one more time. Faith does grow. Faith is small oftentimes when you're first saved. But as you continue in your Christian life, your faith gets bigger and stronger. You can talk to an old saint of God. You ever talk to an old saint of God? Been saved for years? Man, you're tore up over something. And they'll go, "Ah, God's still in control. God's still on His throne. God's still working all things after the counsel of His own will." What are they quoting to you? Quoting to you promises out of God's Word. And they mean for you to trust Him. Our faith should grow. Yeah, I'm saved. I was saved by faith. Yes, indeed. But that faith that I have is to do what? It's to grow. It's to grow. Man, when your faith grows, you trust the Lord in all things. You realize He's in control of things. You realize that He's in charge of things. You don't worry as bad. I don't know if there's anybody worry-free in this old sinful body, but you don't worry nowhere near as bad when you're trusting in the Lord. And that's the cure for fear and worry, and that's trusting in the Lord. So that faith should grow in you as you grow as a Christian. And that was growing in this church. Their faith grew exceedingly. Now watch else. Look what else. I'm almost done. Their love. Not only did their faith grow, but their love, every one of you, all towards each other abounds. That's another thing I like. That's why this is called a model church. That's why it's called a model church. Because their faith was growing, but their love towards one another was growing too. This church was tight. Listen, I want our church to be tight. Close. See what I mean? That's what it was here. Not only did their faith grow, but their love towards one another grew. Love's there's a lot of important things in a church. But according to 1 Corinthians 13, if a church doesn't have love in it, then it's not much. Then it's not much. And that's love towards God, number one, but love towards your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, these people around here is not always very lovable. But you love them anyhow. We love each other. Hey, we love each other warts and all. You got a good church when you have a church full of people that love one another. And love is more than talked. Love is more than talk. What love is shown by action. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is kind. Love is long-suffering. 14 verbs is used to describe love. Why is that? Love is more than talked. Love is an action. You show it. If you love somebody, you show it by your actions towards them. It's more than talked. It's more than talked. It's shown by how you act. So not only was their faith growing, but what else was growing? Their love. Hey, let me ask you a question. How many people did they have in Sunday school at the Thessalonian church? I'm just asking. How many did they have? How many? How much did they take up in the offering box? I'd like to take a good bit up in the offering box, but how much did they take up in the offering box? How big was their sanctuary? Y'all didn't say nothing. It doesn't tell you. What's important is the quality of the congregation, people. He talked about their faith. He talked about their love. All these things were growing in them. I couldn't tell you. There might have just been 10 people in that church. I don't know how many was in there. You see, when he talks to these churches, it's their quality is what matters. Their faith was growing. Their love was growing. They were continuing to move forward in the work. But these things that people talk about all the time is a sign of, it's not necessarily a sign of great blessing. It's closeness to the Lord. Now let's finish this out. Verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you. We glory in you. That means Paul and would talk about what God was doing there. And you think he'd been there I want you to read Acts 17 when you go home. He'd only been there about 3 weeks. He wasn't there a long time. You know, like you'd like to have been. He got the thing started. People had been saved. He hadn't been there real long. But boy, this was a model church. He gloried in you. We glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and your faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. So they were a model what? They were a model church. Now, you see the plural of the word churches? Everybody see the plural of the word churches? Those are local churches. When Paul went out on his missionary journeys, Acts 14:27, they ordained elders in every church. They started churches everywhere they're at. People need a church. People need an assembly place where they can come and be taught and trained in the Scriptures and be together in an assembly where we can encourage one another. Doesn't that make sense? If the Lord had a commission to make disciples, to baptize them, and then to teach them, doesn't it make sense He'd establish an institution to do it? That's what churches are for. Thessalonian church was that type of church. So they gloried in the churches. They gloried in the church. They talked about Thessalonica, how God was working there. Now, did you notice it mentions their patience? The word patience means endurance. They endured hardships. When you look back at where they was at, they went through a lot of persecution in that area. Folks, I think it's going to come down to that in our land. I think it's already heading that direction. I mean, we've been a lot. Well, I mean, I love having freedom of religion. That's a great, great blessing the Lord's blessed us with. But I think it's going to come to pass that that freedom is going to be lost. And the Lord's church is going to be greatly persecuted in the future. I think that's already being set up for all of those type of things. And we'll have to have patience. And that means endurance. Not quit. Not give up. Not give in. Have patience and faith. And notice he says here, all your persecutions, tribulations that you endure. So they was going through a whole lot there. Persecution and tribulation. And what did they do? They didn't quit. You never quit. You keep serving. There's this old song they sing up in the mountains. I'm going to go back up there this week and hold a revival till and come back, Lord willing, Saturday. But there's an old song they sing. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. That's what the Lord's church is supposed to do. Never quit. With patience, keep moving forward. And faith in all of our persecutions and tribulations that we endure. I think these things will change with regard to churches today. Even today, now, if you have a church that teaches the Scriptures, oh, that's the boringest thing in the world. When the Holy Spirit uses the Scriptures to bring salvation, growth, encouragement, you go on and on and on. Well, that's our introduction to the book. I hope it's been a blessing to you. If you'll keep coming on Sunday evenings, we'll work your way right through it, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Now, I want to remind you, I had a question box. Oh, the question box is in the foyer. Looks like an offering box, but it isn't. As we're going through this study, if you got a question about maybe something I didn't mention, or maybe something I said, you just write your name, write it on a piece of paper and put it in that box. And then once I'm done teaching through the book, I'll go back and cover those questions. That sound good? So I ask you to do that. All God's people said, let's all stand. Thank you.